Welcome to episode 431 of That Triathlon Show, the podcast presented by scientifictriathlon.com. I'm your host, Michael, and on today's episode, I interview Christoph Balestra. This is a fascinating conversation about Christoph's work behind the scenes in the triathlon world, with his most well-known product being obstri.com, the obsessed triathlete, which is or was a stats page complete with amateur and professional results from Ironman-branded races. Sadly, it had to be shut down, and we will discuss the details of that story in the interview. But Christoph is also the man behind the PTO's own stats pages, which you will almost definitely be familiar with if you are into looking up start lists and results of professional long course races from the T100 series, from Ironman and Challenge, and other events that are eligible for points towards the PTO rankings. And he's also the man behind Fantasy Triathlon, which was originally hosted on OBS Tri, but is now hosted on The Daily Tri. So we have a lot of interesting stories to get into here in the world of triathlon, technology and stats, and I hope that you enjoy this conversation. But before we get into the interview, big thanks to our sponsors, Precision Fuel and Hydration. They create carbohydrate and electrolyte products that are effective, practical and tasty. Their gels contain 30 or 90 grams of carbohydrates, making it really easy to carry and to keep track of your fuel consumption. Their electrolytes come in different strengths, so you can match your sweat sodium content, which you can estimate for free on their website. And for longer rides, when you might want something to chew on, you can try their delicious chews, which are among my favorites. I've used the entire range of Precision Fuel and Hydration products for years, and I think they're absolutely fantastic. And as a TTS listener, you can get 15% off your first order by using the code TTS24 on precisionfuelandhydration.com. And thank you to Senate. The Senate Indoor Swim Trainer allows you to improve your technique, power, and swim training consistency. The great thing about the Senate is that it's so versatile, so you can make it work to suit your swim-specific needs. For example, if your needs are more technical in nature, there are definitely a lot of technical improvements that you can make with the help of the Senate. But you might also be somebody that needs to improve their pure force and power in your swim stroke, and the Senate is brilliant for that as well. They have a great library of video guided workouts that you can pick and choose from to find the sessions that best suit your needs. And the best thing is that you can try the Senate risk free for 30 days and get 20% off your first order on senateswimtrainer.com/TTS. Now, without any further ado, here's the interview with Christoph Balestra. Welcome to That Triathlon Show, Christoph. How are you doing?
Good, very good. Happy to be here and talking to you.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you. You're maybe not the usual kind of guest. You are an athlete, a triathlete, but the capacity that I'm interviewing you in is maybe slightly different than the typical guests. So why don't you start by introducing yourself to the audience?
Yeah, I don't think anyone would know me for what I've done in triathlon. I mean, I did a lot of them, but that was just truly my passion. But people might know about me or what I've done through a website that I created, what's called the Obsessed Triathlete, Obstri, which unfortunately I had to shut down like a few months back.
Yeah, no, and I think that was a very sad day for me, certainly, because I was a big user of the website. I was a happy premium customer. I found it an exceptional tool as a coach. I think we'll get to it a bit later, but I really used it a lot in coaching with race strategy and goal setting and things like that for my athletes. So it was a fantastic tool. It's a shame that it had to be shut down. We'll get to that in a little bit, that for people not familiar with OBS Tri, but let's start a bit more with how did you get into triathlon yourself, and then at what point your professional career is obviously more in technology and programming and so on. So how did that, at what point did you decide to combine those two interests?
Yeah, so my background is I made video games for many years. I shipped games like The Last of Us or Uncharted. I was the co-president of the company who made it. I just wanted to do something, I guess, before I turned 40, and like an Ironman, something like that would be a very great challenge. And so when I was 39, I just started training for it, and I did my first Ironman before I turned 40. And that's just how I got into the sport.
And when did you, was OBS Tri, the Obsessed Triathlete, was that your first time that you used your programming skills in the realm of triathlon?
So I guess I was like starting then just in triathlon and start getting, you know, how it is you get really into it and kind of geeky about it and interested about just all like numbers and stats and things like that. So it's like I was, I guess I was just very frustrated with the fact that it was just so hard just to find results online, even my own results and like friends or results. I was like, just why is it so hard? Why can't it be just like simple? And I'd never made a website before. I just started to look at the data through the Ironman.com site, and like I figured I could get the data. And so I just wrote a script that would just kind of like go and fetch all the data that I left running overnight. And the next morning, I had just all the results on my own database. I'm like, okay, well, I guess now I have all the data that I need just to make a website. But it was just more like out of frustrations for just myself. I wanted to make it just for myself first. And then I like, okay, well, it's probably going to have some, if I'm interested in it, knowing triathletes, there are probably going to be other people who would be interested in, hence the name Obsessed Triathlete. So that's how.
Yeah, there's a lot of us for sure. So can you, for those that may not be familiar with the Obsessed Triathlete, can you give the elevator pitch for what it was more than, yeah, I mean, you said it gives the results, but can you explain in a little bit more detail what it was and what people used it for?
Yeah, so I mean, there are like two versions of it, but like mainly the goal was just to get a database where people could search easily and quickly results from like themselves or anybody, their friends or competition. And that's kind of like how it started, where you just type a name and you just get all the information about that athlete. And then it kind of evolved because I started doing this, and then I like, what would I want to see next? And then I played around with like some kind of rankings, just because there are no really rankings around like age groupers. So I had several iterations of this. Just tried to see that something that would make sense. I added like courses, so that you can see like just, swim, bike and run courses, so that you can see, if you want to sign up for a race, like I guess what you could expect. Then I added also like weather data, because I was like, okay, well, that's information that's interesting. So like historically, how has been the weather for that course? So I would just like fetch the weather data on the race day, and then just kind of like, and you have that just for the last X number of years of like races there. That was version one, where I trying just to help people with their journey, I guess, into racing or participating into an Ironman, and just what kind of information would be useful to them. Also like course difficulties and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that the course difficulty and comparing courses, that was a really useful aspect. For example, you could very easily check what is the median finishing time for the swim leg, bike leg, run leg of a particular course, compare it to another. And then if you are generally around the median time, for example, you could actually check this with any percentile within your age group or within the general overall age group field. Then you could kind of compare what would be expected for another course. And that is something that I found super useful, as well as the weather data and lots of other things, really. But I think that, yeah, if you've only ever looked at your results through the Ironman tracker app or the Ironman website, then it's maybe a bit hard to imagine how results can be made so much better. But I think that, yeah, you really managed to do it. And maybe for people to get a bit of an idea, and if they go and look at the PTO results page, at least you get a little bit of an idea of what, for a single race, that being able to sort by swim time, bike time, run time, and so on, all those small and simple functions, but you can't do them in the normal Ironman databases or Ironman results lists, and I think that it, with OBS Try that was possible, and there are so many great functionalities there. So that gives an overview for people that may not have used it, but of course a lot of listeners will know very well what it was. But anyway, what were the biggest challenges on the technology side when you put it together? You said that you could pretty easily find the data and write the script, but were there any challenges?
The real challenge is just to, when you create something like this, is just to make it very user friendly, because you could make it very clunky, easily. And so I spent a lot of time, just trying to make sure it was easy for people to access the data, and it was pretty, obvious how just to get to it. And there's all the data and just making sure you serve it fast so that people, when they search for something, it just it doesn't take seconds, I guess. It's just almost instant. So there is just, the technical aspect was one thing, but I always think just technology is there to serve a goal, and the goal is more important than the technology, and just whatever the technology is, and it doesn't really matter. It was more about just giving a good experience when just people were going to the site, and I got a lot of feedback where people were just, they liked the look of it, and how it was not overloaded, and but still you can finding a lot of stuff, but it was kind of clean. And so I just take, I guess, some pride in this.
Yeah. Do you have any, I'm sure you do. Do you have an estimate for the user numbers, whether it be monthly users or something like that?
That's a very good question. So I have to look it up, but I think I had, I can't remember how many accounts I had at the end. I think I had around 8,000 people who created accounts. That's also when I had the fantasy and because I also the version 2 had the news and the fantasy and all that stuff. But users, what was interesting is I spent $0 in marketing. I didn't market it. I didn't try to promote it. And when triathletes would just find out about it, they'd be like, oh my God, this is great. How come I didn't know about it sooner? And the numbers were okay and they were pretty good, but, I guess for me, but I think just they could have been a lot bigger if, somehow, or the word of mouth would have just worked better, or I would have just maybe spend some money just for people just to know about it.
Yeah. And as we've alluded to, you had to shut it down. So can you tell us about how that came about? What was the story behind that?
Sure. So, okay. That was the version one. And then I worked on another project, which was called Motionesis, which is a bike fitting website where you can just add images of yourself or videos and calculate the angles and a bunch of stuff. I'm very geeky into the triathlon world, where you can even estimate your CDA and a bunch of stuff like this. So worked on that, and then just I came back to Upstry, and I'm like, okay, well, let's just make version 2.0. And I added the news section in there that would just compile kind of all the news that you can find in triathlon. I'm like, let's assume someone doesn't have social media, and let's give them a chance just to be exposed to kind of the news for triathlon. And then I added also the fantasy and all that stuff. Also, in the meantime, I started just to get more into the Ironman stuff and finding other ways just to get the data. And I also started to get the list of participants for races, so I could see who was signed up for a race.
Yeah. So this is just to clarify. So this is before the race happened.
Yeah. And since I had my own ranking system, I would just show the list of participants sorted by their rank. So if you are a pretty good triathlete, it was a great way for you just to kind of look at your competition just kind of on the day, and like get an idea of like who's going to be there and how hard it's going to be on the podium or something. And I guess, Ironman, found out about it, a little bit of my fault because I reach out to them, say, hey, there are people who come to me complaining about the result that are wrong. And I was getting the data from their side. So that means if I was wrong, their side was wrong as well. I was like, do you want me can we work together so I can kind of like tell you, when something is wrong or something like just, and it escalated to like more people at Ironman. And at the end of the day, they were not happy with me, having access to all that data. Participants, they shut it down very quickly. I think it was probably related to the fact that having the exact numbers of people sign up for us maybe was not good for them. Maybe sometimes they don't really want to know how many people are just sign up for a race. It could be some like maybe some people like didn't want to know that just they were or didn't want other people to know that just they were signed up for a race. So I don't know exactly kind of like in terms of like people's like just if they wanted like just that to be out there. And then I guess ultimately I was making a product that if they wanted to make and I was petitioned to them. And if they make it, then they make it where they can probably make money off of it because they can have sponsors in there. And they released like on their Ironman, like some kind of profile for the athletes, with their results. It's not great. It's kind of clunky, I think. And it's just like very slow. When they show the results, they have the Wahoo watch, which at first I couldn't see my results. I was like, oh, it's in the middle of the watch. But then that means Wahoo is paying them to have their logo and their watches there on their platform. So if I make a product that is with their like in quotation marks data, because I don't know who really owns the data, do the athletes own the data or does Ironman own the data? I don't know. Then that means I devalue what they could do and what they could make money off. And so that's why like they were not happy with me just having something like that out there because it would be hard for them just maybe to compete it's just Ironman. This is how they are. But I ended up talking to them and I was like, okay, it's not going to go anywhere. And I knew that it would not come down very nicely with them. So I decided just to stop premium so that people would stop paying because I didn't want to start having people paying. And then 2 weeks after, I'm like, okay, it's done. So I started 6 months before where I had the website for free. And then after that, when I knew just Ironman shut down my access, they shut down my private IP address at home, they shut down the private, like they blocked my private IP address, blocked my server IP address. And I'm like, I could go around it, but I'm like, it's just, it's not worth it at this point. I don't want to get into that kind of battle. So I decided just to shut it down because Upstry was there for people to get their results or all the results with stats and all that stuff. And it's not a service that I could provide anymore. And that's what Upstry was mainly known for. So I'm like, there's no point.
So it didn't ever get to the point of a legal battle. They shut down your pathway technologically before it came to that. Is that how it went?
Yeah. I don't think that's where I could have gone around it. I mean, with VPNs and all that stuff. Yeah. I could have done it, but I'm like, and it didn't come to anything legal. And I don't think I have the will to get into this, just to be honest. I mean, it's a passion product. I mean, I did this by myself, no one else. I mean, everything you have seen on Upstart, it was all me. Every decision on how it looks, how it feels, like even the Upstart logo, and I did everything myself. I mean, all the courses I was going out there and finding people on Strava who were public, and I could grab like the course from there when they raced on that day. And like, I just did everything myself. I'm like, it's purely by passion. And if it started like to become with legal stuff, I'm like, I'm not interested. I was not willing just to fight that fight.
Yeah. And why do you think, wouldn't it have been in Ironman's interest to maybe offer to buy it off of you or work with you to create their own product that then could be sponsored?
They kind of like came in a little bit, like, see if I want to work for them. But I'm like, just at the time, I was like, I'm good. Maybe if I was willing, something could have been worked out. I'm not sure exactly how they do. I mean, just their website is just not that great. It's very slow. I've never seen a website that slow. I don't know how much money they spend on it, but it doesn't take wise on the web. It's just, it's not great. But I don't know if they care. Even if they had just entertained the idea, I don't know if I would have gone for it anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So with Obstri no longer existing, and you mentioned that one of the big obstacles or what made Ironman see, or potentially what made Ironman not like it was the fact that you had access to the registration lists and people could know in advance how many people were registered, who was registered, and so on. The results after the fact are out there, so people can easily know how many people finished. At least you can necessarily see DNFs easily. Well, you can see them actually. What I'm getting at is it possible for somebody who is technologically savvy to do something similar, to create a database where you can get access to the results, or have Ironman shut the door on that somehow?
I haven't looked recently, but I think there's probably ways to get the results. I mean, there are like ways to get results from the tracker. That's not the way I was getting the results. I was getting the results from a few other pathways. But I think they shut down, they blocked my IP address, but I think anyone else is still fine. I don't know if the data is still available to anyone. I'm not sure. Especially since they released their new way to like, show results. So maybe, yeah, I mean, you can try, and then, good luck.
Yeah, I'm not gonna try, but we have lots of smart listeners, so maybe somebody else will. Yeah. I'm just curious. Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah. So moving on, or is there anything else before we move on from this topic? Is there anything else that you want to mention about Obstri? Any final points on that?
No, it was great. I mean, even I made you mentioned that you are like a premium member, and I did this originally just to pay for like the servers and maybe a little of my time and then I don't like to have everything free. I don't know if it's a good thing. Just even for our kids in the future, like they're gonna have to work, and everybody is expecting everything to be free. Like, I don't know how that's gonna work. It was interesting. I made a little bit of money, and like nothing crazy. I think it was like around 30K, like over 3 or 4 years. I was like, okay, that was fun. I didn't expect that. But no, I mean, again, great passion project. I learned a lot of stuff, and it made a lot of people happy also. Or just hopefully it helped them just with their Ironman journey. So that's good. Very, very proud of it.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's been a lot of tools over the years that I've signed up to and then unsubscribed from. But yeah, this is definitely the one that I was very sad that it was no longer an option to be subscribed because it was genuinely super useful. So well earned that you also made some money. I'm glad to hear that in the process. So the next topic then I want to ask about is that you went on to work for about a year as the CTO for the PTO. And at the time, I'm reading from the press release that they announced that your focus will be the integration of the latest innovations in sports broadcast technologies to PTO broadcast platforms. So can you elaborate a bit? What does that mean? What were you working on?
The first thing I did when I joined, and I think CTO is probably a title that I got based on what I've done in video games before, but it was probably not the right title for me. Because I was also like in LA, I'm in Los Angeles. And everybody else is in London. So it was kind of complicated. The first thing was if you're familiar with their stats websites, where you have all the results from the pros and, I did all of this. Where you have the rankings and everything. Someone else has taken it over, but I did some backend stuff so that they can like manage all their athletes and all the results and all that stuff. Start working on how we could show interesting data on the screen. And like how we could also track the data, like with devices and stuff like that. That's kind of like how far it went for me. I decided to leave after a year because I was just far, and it was not easy to work with a team. Being on a Zoom call every morning was just kind of depressing for me. Not a big fan of it. It's just like, and also like they started like doing a lot of stuff for the edge groupers, and I was not really interested in this. I thought first it was for like the pros, and when I heard, oh, we're gonna start like having edge group races, I'm like, okay, I'm just, it's gonna take a lot of my time to do this, and it's not something that just I'm passionate about. So that's why I only stayed there for a year.
Yeah. What do you think that in an ideal world, if the team was there in the LA and everything was rosy, and what would you want to do in an organization like PTO from a technology perspective? Would it be to work on that broadcasting the data live on screen, things like heart rate, power, and so on? Or is it something entirely different if you could have it your way?
Sure. The way the PTO will be successful if its broadcast is successful. That's the only way. This is the only way they will make money if one day they get like a big car brand or a bank or luxury jewelry, watches, whatever, who want just to kind of like be the sponsor of their races. That's the way they will be making money. There's absolutely like zero other way. So I think for me, the focus would be just to how do you make the broadcast appealing to more than triathletes? Because that's the, if you only appeal to triathletes, then it's not going to work. So, a lot of the sports that are being watched, if everybody who was watching like, soccer was like a soccer player, like it wouldn't go that as far as it's going. So, I think getting real context, for just what's going on in the race, at all time, would be my priority. Number one, especially when you watch a race run, if you turn on the race halfway through, you can fairly quickly understand what's going on and where it's at, like you do in cycling. And I think they're just kind of like missing the mark on this. And I think they do have the data, but I think they are having a hard time taking that data and just to transcribe it on screen, just to make it where it makes sense. So, because we talked about just like heart rate and power and all that stuff, but that's not mainstream. It's like,
no.
If you tell someone who's kind of like, who likes sports, oh, the heart rate for that athlete is just like 160 and his power is like 350. What does it mean? It just means nothing to most people. And so it's like, how do you take some of those numbers and you normalize them and maybe, and then you kind of like get more like a scale or something so that just people have a good understanding, an easy understanding of like maybe what's going on. And also like power versus weight, like just like we don't know, like you have to tell them, you have to explain this. So, I mean, I think I would streamline kind of like the numbers, actually focus on time gaps, positions, like they do in cycling. You rarely hear about power or life power, like just when you're watching cycling. And so I don't know why it would be interesting in triathlon if it's not in cycling. So I think that's where I would just try to tech-wise, now racing-wise, that's another topic, but like tech-wise, I think that's where I would just put my focus and just to guarantee like information that's useful at all time on screen.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense, and even even with the data, sometimes that we do have, like even more simple metrics like speed or pace, running wise, there have been some races where like it's clearly taken from either an uphill or the timing mat is a bit off, so it looks like an athlete is running at the one split. It's 3:20 and the next it's 4:20, and then you hear the commentators talk about them running 4:20 when they clearly are not. But if you are somebody who, let's say you're interested in distance running and you happen to turn on the triathlon and you see these athletes running at 4:20, you'll just end up thinking that, oh gosh, these are really slow, like there's no point watching this is not a real sport, just because of let's say the inaccuracies in the data, or the lack of context to the data. So,
and it doesn't matter. I mean, okay, look at women cycling. It's very interesting to watch. It's super entertaining, and they don't go as fast as the men, but who cares?
Yeah,
it's always relative, right? Relative to just like the competition and like the dynamic. I think that's what that's people are interested in. So, I mean, actually, I also on Upstride, I don't know if you remember or if you saw it, but I also had a tracker, a life tracker, where I made my own life tracker, where I made it like what I wanted to see. Like, and it was not about speed. It was more like about the gaps and the groups on the bike. And like, just like, if there was information about speed, it was relative to the next person or relative to just first place, so like to see if someone was catching up to first place or if someone was catching up to the person in front of them. And I think that's more like the stuff like you that would be interesting.
Yeah, no, it's I agree. Like in cycling, they do a very good job with that. You have the breakaway, you have the time gap to the to maybe a group that is trying to bridge up to the breakaway, and then the time gap to the peloton, and you get very simple just time gaps, and that gives you the context of the race, and you can see if it's growing or going down easily at any point in the race. So yeah, no, that makes sense. Is other than cycling, are there any other sports that you would say that do things well in a broadcast perspective that could be useful for the PTO to model a bit or take inspiration from?
Well, I think triathlon is its own sport. So like you're going to have to customize whatever you do in triathlon. But I think cycling is probably the closest, probably Formula One. I don't watch a lot of Formula One, but from like, what I started like to look into for like graphics, and they have some interesting, stats, and you always see kind of like you can see what's going on in the race in Formula One at all time, and you can see like where everybody is at, just and kind of like what are the gaps. So I think that's also they're doing a good job there. I would say like cycling and Formula One are probably like the best to just to take inspirations of.
Yeah, I think about Formula One, I also don't watch a lot, but from more from Drive to Survive, but also yeah. From what I've heard from other people watching, is that they seem to do a good job of telling the stories that go on a bit farther down the race. So driving a narrative not just about the leaders of the race and the people fighting for the podiums, but also people fighting for like the last point slots and things like that. So that's something that could be done. And one final point on this, on the broadcasting here, I guess, are you of the opinion that everything should be visible on the main screen? You shouldn't have to go to an app or a second screen or so to be able to get the context? Or do you think that there is some reason to maybe have some extra detail on a secondary screen or secondary page or app?
Well, I think if you want to be mainstream, a second screen should not be necessary. If it's necessary, then you're probably going to be missing on the becoming mainstream. And I would say focus on like the broadcast first. Nail that, make that as good as it can be, and then maybe after that, maybe you can just look at a second screen. But if a second screen is necessary to understand the racing, I think you're failing.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's move on from that. And you mentioned in our email conversation that you now do a bit of work for Daily Try, and Daily Try has picked up the fantasy triathlon that you had on Obstri before. So I guess that's one of your main things. Is that what you your main work now with the Daily Try, or is there anything else that you're doing on that side as well?
Yeah, it's mainly what I've been busy with. I mean, I'm not working or not. Travis, he's a very nice guy who created like the Daily Try. I mean, he's just trying to survive in this, and just like so, I'm trying to help him, and so I made a whole website and the fantasy, and I'm doing also like some other stuff for his Instagram account, some 3D videos of the races and stuff like that, just because I like doing it and I think it's fun. And so I've been mainly focusing on this and just trying just to, I think our goal is just to make fantasy as successful as it can be. And just like, it's a great way for people to be invested in the race a little more than just if it wasn't there, because you would care probably a little more about an athlete if they finish in the top five or not, depending on who you picked. And so I think for me, the reason why I did the fantasy on Upstra and like in here, it's to have another way of people to interact with the sport beside being a triathlete. And so it's a fun way for them just to interact with the sport. It's a good way for them just to be more informed about the sport. And it's a good way also like for them just to kind of like connect in general, like with the sport. So ideally, we'll just get more and more people who can just play it and be interested in it. And then Travis can start making some money with this, if we can partner with brands, then just for the fantasy or things like that. But it's interesting to do. And I think someone's got to try it. So we're going for it.
We'll link to that so people can check it out. I agree. I think it's fun. It makes you engage a bit more with the races. And so definitely can recommend that. Can you explain in a nutshell for people that haven't played fantasy how how it works now, and then we can go into future goals for it and development areas.
Sure. So the goal of the fantasy is just for you to score as many points as possible. And the way you do it, it's by picking like your top five athletes based on their, you pick their place. So you pick first place, second place, who you think is going to be finishing in those positions for men and women when usually they are like just both racing on the day. And then based on your picks, then you... you score points, and then you also score points for the fastest swimmer, cyclist, and runner of the, on the day. And we just, there are like some kind of bonuses. If you get the pace right, then you double the points of the athlete. And then we just calculate all the points and then just lay, and then there's some leaderboards. There are global leaderboards. We also have leagues so that people can play with their friends and kind of like have a healthy competition, because sometimes like all when you are like a leaderboard out of it of thousands of people, it doesn't mean much, but like being second or first with your friends means a lot more. So that's why we also have leagues, so that just people can kind of like do that together.
Yeah, no, that's a good description. Maybe I should start that triathlon show leaderboard. That could be fun. And also one thing that I wanted to comment on is that I like that in some very simplistic fantasy implementations in other sports that I've seen, you only get points if you pick the exact right position. And what I like about yours, I mean, it's not rocket science exactly, but you get points kind of based on how close the athlete is to the position you picked. So it's not as if you have to pick the exact right position. Like, you don't have to pick Patrick Lange finishing second in Texas. You get points if he finishes third or first, but obviously the closer you are, the more points you get. So
if you get the right place, you double the points.
You get like you double the points.
Yeah.
But it feels like it's more. Yeah, you have to, like, at least when I do it. Maybe I'm too competitive, but I sit down and think about it and look at some past results and things. So it's not so much. It's not just about luck that I've seen implemented in some other, not in triathlon specifically, I can't remember, but in other games of a similar nature where it feels like more like, somebody finished 1 second off your position, but then you get 0 points for them. So yeah, it's a good game.
It's meant to be fun. It's meant to be fun.
Yeah.
It's meant to
be So what are you looking to develop, obviously getting more people to play and so on, but are there any features you want to implement or anything else in the pipeline?
So one thing we're going to release, it's already on the website, but we haven't really talked about it yet, but we have our own ranking system, so that just and it's mainly to help you with the fantasy. Actually I was just working on doing the short course rankings right before I joined you. So you'll have like rankings for long course and short course, and then and rankings for swim, for bike, run, and overall. So that just you're trying to get like some kind of like people more informed about just their fantasy choices, and have some kind of profile for like each athlete. So that's coming down the pipe. We really want just with the Daily Tri just to find a way to get live data, so that just you can get live results for a race. Like if you look at procyclingstats.com for cycling, they just have like all the live information about when a stage race is taking place, or like or any cycling race, or like the big ones. So ideally, we'd love to be able just to have our own tracker there for World Triathlon. It's all in. They're like, yeah, go for it. You can use whatever you want. Feel free to access all our timing data. It seems like the PTO is okay with us doing it. That for like all the T100 races. And then Ironman, we'll see. It might be, we'll give it our best shot. but it might happen as well. So, I mean, the goal is just to make it like a place where, like, if you're a triathlon fan, that's a place to go to. Like, you have the news and you have all the podcasts. Your podcast is in there as well. We just list all the podcasts, the triathlon podcasts, so you can see what are the latest podcasts. And kind of like if you're a triathlon fan and there's something that you want or looking for, you should be able to find it through our website. And that's kind of like the goal. So hopefully we'll be doing a good job at it, and just people will just enjoy just coming to the site, and yeah, that's the goal. So like the two main things are like the rankings and getting the live stuff up and running soon.
Right. Yeah, that's exciting. And then getting towards the end of the interview here, just I have some general triathlon technology questions for you. Other than these things that we've been talking about, do you have any other interesting projects that you're either working on or thinking about maybe doing in the future that you can share? If you can't, then that's fine, obviously.
No, it's fine. It's nothing to hide. It's hard to answer that question because, like, for instance, I was just talking about the rankings that I shipped yesterday on the Daily Try. I didn't know Monday I would be doing this. So it just happened to pop in my head, and I like, okay, let's do it. I just usually go with the flow. I don't have a master plan of like just where I want to go or what I want to do. So it depends on the moment, and so what I think is right, and I just follow my gut with this. No, it's not like just I don't want to answer it. It's like I just don't know the answer myself.
Right, yeah. And if you take your crystal ball and try to look at the next 1 to 10 years in terms of triathlon technology in general, so software, products and wearables, data analysis, AI, and so on, what do you think are the areas, the products, the services that from a technology perspective that you think will be big things in the next decade or so?
I think big thing, it's kind of like when I told you about Upstry, like the hard part sometimes is just to make it user friendly and more than the technology. So I think the biggest challenge is not going to be technology, but it's going to be more like how do you use technology to help the ultimate goal. And that is just to make triathlon just a bigger sport. I don't know if there is anything that's gonna be gonna magically just make that happen, but it's just more like a sum of different things that are going just to help that. I mean, the sport itself is kind of weird in the sense of like, there are like a lot of players between the PTO, Ironman, Challenge, or Triathlon. It's kind of very complicated just to, and Super Tri, it's pretty complicated just to follow the sport. And I kind of feel like for me, I mean, technology is one thing, but like the sport also needs to find a way to be entertaining. And it's not at the moment. I think when you watch triathlon, it's not always entertaining, especially long course. And I kind of feel like, something needs to change, to be a good TV product, because the bike is very boring, so for instance, like the technology with Race Ranger, I think on paper, it's cool because there's less drafting, but like when you look at the broadcast, it's even more boring because if you have 20 meters between every athlete, then when you look at the camera is only going to be looking at one person at a time, most of the time, it doesn't make it exciting. And then, so I'm not really up for that 20 meter rule because I think it just, breaks up completely, like just the, like to create a real dynamic of a race. And then, it just, again, I'm talking about broadcast. I'm not talking about pure, like the purity of triathlon. And I think if you have a Taylor Neve that just goes ahead and you know no one's going to catch up, it's like, okay, why would you keep watching? It's just game over. So I feel like cycling is, to me, is such an exciting sport, but cycling in triathlon is such a boring sport that something needs to change. And it has nothing to do with technology. And if you don't fix that, you can have all the technology in the world. But if it's not interesting to watch or not exciting, then forget about it. So, yeah. I mean, the only thing I've seen in triathlon that was exciting on the bike was sub-7, sub-8. That was like, for me, sub-7 sorry, on the bike. Like, I was like, holy, this is so cool. I'm not saying we should do this for a regular triathlon, but maybe there's something in between.
Yeah, but I think I've been thinking along the same lines that it would be really interesting to do draft legal long course triathlon, see how that would work out, and it could be more exciting. Because I agree, it is very boring, like to sit through a bike leg of a long course race. And what about if I ask the same question but from the perspective of like training and athletes trying to get faster, fitter, or improve their performance somehow? Do you have any thoughts on where there might be technological improvements coming in that sense?
Yeah, if technology can tell you to take a break sometime, that would be great. Because I think we're like just always on as triathletes. And if technology can help you sometimes just to chill, that would be great, because I think we're always stimulated, and I don't know if it's healthy, because 12 months out of the year you're like stimulated just to train over and over again, and maybe technology can help us find a better balance. I think that might be healthier for the sport.
Yeah, and a segue from that then is, if you can give 3 to 5 learnings from your own time as a triathlete, lessons or do's and don'ts, what would you say? What would your tips be? Or even if it's just applicable to yourself, but things that you've learned.
Yeah, I guess looking back, I've done triathlon for 10 years. I did like 5 full Ironman and maybe 15 or so 70.3s. And I wish I had taken like a real off season every year, like just a couple months off, not being on the couch and eating potato chips, but like off of like structure training and like being able just to forget about triathlon. I think that's, it is so easy just to kind of like get caught up into it like all year long. And I regret that I've done that. I think it would have been better for my mind and like my body just to kind of like just take the rest, the real rest. But yeah, otherwise, I really enjoyed my time when I was just doing a lot of triathlon, and it was fun and I learned a lot. It's so easy just to geek out about stuff, about bike. And I even had a website like for like bike positions and CDA because I was obsessed with this. So there's you can go as deep as you want in this sport. And that's also like, it's very interesting. So yeah, I mean, it's a great sport. It's an amazing sport. So but don't be too hard on yourself, or give your time just to build up to it. And just don't try to become a machine like just immediately.
So are you still racing? Do you have any racing plans for this year?
No, I'm done. I did for 10 years. And then I could tell like my last races, which I DNF a couple, my mind was not into it anymore. I decided just, you know what? I did everything I wanted to do. I even broke 10 hours on an Ironman. I did 9:59, which I didn't think that would be, it would be ever possible for me, but I did it. So I was like very happy with it. So I'm like, that's it. I think I'm going to be mainly running now. Cause that's probably my favorite of the three sports. No races. I hurt myself a little bit in my hip, with the running like usual. And also I'm not getting any younger. So, yeah.
All right. Yeah. But that's very nice when you can, when you have had 10 years in the sport and you can say that you achieved more than you hoped for when you first got into the sport.
Yeah.
That's a very nice way to, not nice thing to look back on. So then the final question for this interview is to pick your Olympic podiums, men's and women's, and then I'll put it all in the spreadsheet with your answers and other guests. We have a few already and we'll get quite a few more before the games. So who are your picks, Christoph?
All right, so I think I'll go with I was born in France, so I mean I moved to America like 22 years ago, but I'm French. So I'll go with Léo Berger for the gold medal, and I'd say Alex Yi, and then probably Hauser, I would say. And then for the woman, I have to go with Cathon Beaugrand, and then Beth Porter, and I don't know, Caldwell, or probably I'd say Caldwell, or let me think. No, probably Lombardi. I'd say Lombardi. Beaugrand, Porter, and Lombardi.
Perfect. All right, I'll put that in a spreadsheet, and let's see how it goes.
I'll probably it's gonna be wrong. Every time when I play the fantasy, I'm the worst. So,
you can pride yourself on putting it all together. So that's definitely something to be proud of. Well, thank you so much, Christoph. Do you have social media? Is there any place where people can follow you, or is it more about joining the fantasy?
I'm sure people have better things to do than following me.
All right.
No, don't waste your time with this.
Our call to action will be to go and check out the fantasy and start playing.
Sure. Yeah, that'd
all
be
right.
Great.
Thank you very much, Christoph. It was great to chat to you. I hope to do it again another time. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
I hope that you enjoyed that interview. Let me know what you think of this type of interview that is a bit different from my typical focus, which normally we have interviews more focused on improving your triathlon or endurance performance. And obviously this one was a bit different, more about the general triathlon world or a specific aspect within it. So I'm very keen to hear your feedback if you're welcoming these types of interviews, or if you would like me to stick to the more typical format, let's say, that I have with most interviews. As always, you can find the show notes for this episode on scientifictriathlon.com. And through the links there, you can find the Google Sheet where I have added the Olympic podium picks that Christoph picked, and also all of the other guests that so far have submitted their picks for the Olympic podiums. And then we can keep track of who has picked whom and see when it comes to the big day in Paris, who is the closest. Of course, as we talked about, I also really encourage you to check out the Fantasy Triathlon on the Daily Try. I submit my picks for almost all races now. I think it's just really fun. And as Christoph said, it just helps you have a bit more engagement into the races. So it makes it more fun to follow, whether it's just checking in on the tracker every once in a while or whether it's actually watching the race from start to finish. Now, as I mentioned in the last episode, if you have any questions for Dirk Friel, co-founder of Training Peaks, then please send them in. We now have a definitive date for the interview, which is quite soon. So the deadline for sending in listener questions for Dirk will be Sunday, the 12th of May. So just a couple of days after this interview goes out. So send in any questions that you may have, but that are relevant for this type of interview. So not customer support type questions. That's not the right forum for those questions. That would be the customer support team on trainingpeaks.com. But any questions that you think that for an interview would be relevant, send them to michael@scientifictriathlon.com. And I will ask as many listener questions as I can on the interview with Dirk Friel. And by the way, I misspoke in the last episode when I said that he's the CEO of Training Peaks. He is the co-founder, but not the CEO. So sorry for that mistake. I also have a bunch of other interviews and some solo episodes as well lined up after a few weeks now of not having released any episodes. So do hit that subscribe button to not miss a thing. And also, it would really mean the world to me if you could submit a rating and a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, and you can submit a rating and review. And just try to spread the word about the podcast. Word of mouth is the best way, really, to grow any podcast. So it really helps if you do that and get anybody who doesn't know about it to give it a try. And if they like it, hopefully they become a listener. So yeah, really would appreciate that help with spreading the word about the podcast. I also want to talk a little bit about our coaching. You can find all of the info about the coaching on scientifictriathlon.com/coaching. And of course, you can email me directly if you have any questions. But I think that if you want to get the most out of your training, then coaching is without a doubt the way to go, because it allows your training to be fine-tuned based on the countless factors that should be considered for really finding the optimal training for any individual, or as close to optimal as we can anyway. And I've come to understand that for somebody who has never been coached, or at least haven't been coached in a really individualized and communication-based way, the way that we do things, it can be quite difficult to understand the difference that coaching can make. A lot of people conflate coaching with just getting a training plan or even a customized training plan, but that's not really what it is at all. So if you're curious in the slightest, then first of all, go and read our coaching page on the website, because there we explain all of the things that go into coaching. But then get in touch with us directly and we can set up a discovery call so you can have a chat with one of our coaches or myself and make an informed decision about whether it makes sense for you to start with a coach or not. We don't have any startup costs or minimum commitment terms, so there's not a lot to lose if you sign up but then decide that coaching isn't for you. So try to make it something that anybody can at least give a try to see if it's something that they would benefit from and make sense for them. So I'm going to read a review that we have received from Steven in the United States. As usual, I'm going to change the name of the coach in question to coach, because it's not about highlighting any one of our individual coaches, but it's about highlighting the type of service we all strive to offer. And Steven writes, "Coach is outstanding. He's the best coach I have ever had. He has found the right balance of workouts so I can continue to improve, but I'm not consistently tired. He always provides me clear answers on why we are doing each workout. He provides timely adjustments based on my training activities and or changes to my work schedule. We communicate a ton and the communication is effective and fits my personality. Your coaching is top notch. I am grateful for the support that I have received." So again, if you are curious, just get in touch and we can set up a free discovery call and see if coaching is something that you could benefit from. Now, finally, big thanks to our sponsors, Precision Fuel and Hydration, that you can find on precisionfuelandhydration.com. If you're looking for high-quality, practical, and tasty fueling and hydration products, make sure to try Precision Fuel and Hydration. There are a range of options from drink mix to gels to choose, so you can easily find your personal favorite. Don't forget to take 15% off your first order with the code TTS24. And thank you to Zenate. The Zenate Swim Trainer is a great tool to have in your toolbox to improve your technique and power, to target specific aspects of your stroke, and to maintain consistency when you don't have time to get to the pool. You can try the Zenate risk-free for up to 30 days and get 20% off your first order on zenatetrainer.com/TTS. Thank you, as always, for listening. Keep training smart and keep loving triathlon.